Welcome back to another episode of Africans Talk Football. Gabriel, how are you feeling tonight?
I feel great, man. I'm feeling good. How you feeling, Mike?
I wish we would have gotten a win today, but I'm not.
There's only one 3-point holder in here today.
Hey, man. I know guys like Salam.
You know?
I love what they said, Mike.
I'm doing well, Mike. Thank you for asking. Cornelius, how are you, man?
You know, the sun is shining. I've had worse days, so I can't complain. You know, Chelsea didn't lose today, so I'm not terribly mad. But you know, just before we get into the episode, I want to say thank you again to all of our friends, all of our supporters. As we, you know, walk into this international break, we still have a lot of content coming down the pipeline for you guys. So very, very thankful for you guys that have been commenting on our posts and just interacting with us through all of our, you know, platforms. It's been really cool to see over the last couple of months. Really do appreciate it. But before we do talk about our teams today, I actually wrote down just a few notes about some stuff that happened around the world in football this past week. Because there's been a lot of news actually that's been going on. But Carvajal tore his ACL. Yeah. You guys didn't hear the news. So Villarreal and Real Madrid played yesterday, which was Saturday. Madrid won 2-0, but they had a couple of injuries. They had Vinny, which has a cervical. He has a back injury. They don't know how long he's going to be out. They're not sure if he's going to travel on this international break. And then Carvajal, it also came out officially that he tore his ACL. So he's out for the rest of the year, which is very, very tough to just add to the laundry list of, you know, injuries in La Liga. When you look at Real Madrid and Barcelona, you know, both of them have major, major injuries. And then just around the world, around the soccer world, around the leagues, there's, you know, a lot of injuries. So prayers for Carvajal, hoping for a very speedy recovery.
Facts.
Alisson and McAllister, there were also two other players that were injured on Liverpool's team, but it looks like they are traveling with their countries for their international break. So it looks like they're coming off of those injuries, which is good to hear.
Vacation. We'll see.
It sounds like vacation to me, too. But
it's vacation. I ain't going to go back home for a second.
You know, get some home food and then come back after a week or two refreshed. I get it.
For sure.
So something interesting, Wayne Rooney, I actually read something. He was given the Plymouth job, and essentially his, like, what, you know, the board gave him the role to do was just stay in the championship. So Plymouth is in the championship. I believe they came up from League One last year. So this is their first year of the championship after a little bit. Wayne Rooney, you know, he's had his ups and downs in his managerial career, but they seem to be doing pretty decent. So they just won yesterday 1-0, even though he got a red card. So I don't know, you know, what's going on specifically there, but it was just some interesting news and kind of something to peep if you are interested in the championship or, you know, you kind of are just bored and you see that they're playing. Plymouth is the team to look out for. And then the last little tidbit, and Rudiger, you know, our big boy Rudy, German national player, Chelsea, you know, he was on our team for 5 years. Now he plays for Real Madrid. He just dropped a new interview. It's about like a 45-minute interview. I listened to half of it. It's actually really good. I wrote down the people. It's on YouTube with the Inside Scoop. That's the platform that he did it with, two boys out of the UK. Shout out to them. But it's a dope interview. So if you're a fan of Rudiger, I would go check it out. I listened to, like I said, about 20, 25 minutes of it, kind of just his origin story. And then, you know, how he came up to the ranks to play from Stuttgart to Roma to Chelsea and then now at Real Madrid. So it was a dope little interview.
You see what he said about Saliba and Gabriel. I know y'all saw that.
Yeah, you know.
I know y'all saw that.
You know what that is, though? It's recruitment.
What is that?
It's recruitment.
It is recruitment. It's recruitment.
That's all that is, though. So while you're hyping it up, which I understand, just know
it is recruitment.
You're also knocking on the door like, hey.
Best partnership in the world right now. Cool. That's what he said.
Oh, for sure.
Saliba.
Yeah.
No, I mean,
he said he would love to be in that center back pairing with Saliba.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, I mean, yeah, you know
what he's just recruiting, bro. And he knows what he's doing, and that's what I'm just like.
It's coming.
Men's better win something.
You guys have
men's better win something because men's will leave quick. When Madrid comes knocking on that door,
yeah, you can't close that door.
No. Yeah, you can't. It's tough to say no.
Definitely the best partnership. I feel like
that would be it. Yeah,
Saliba gets a lot of the praise. But I think Gabriel is definitely an underappreciated aspect of that partnership.
Yeah. I think he does most of the dirty work. Yeah.
But also,
and like, again,
he's our aggressor. Like, there's clear roles. Like, Saliba's more the finesse. You know, he's more aggressive. Like, nah, bro, nothing's getting past me for real. Like, so, man, it's a great partnership. I appreciate what he said, though. I'm glad people see it, but I also saw what Frank Lampard said. And Frank Lampard said, people are like, oh, are they as good as, you know, when John Terry and
Cavario.
Was it? Yeah, Cavario were playing. And he was like, no, win something. And I was like, 100%. I was like, go win something. He was like, when they win a couple prems, you know, they win a Champions League, then we can get him in that conversation. Yeah. But I 100% agree with that, too. Like, I agree that they're the best, but also go win something, bro.
Yeah,
as a team, you know what I mean. So.
Yeah, and also something Rudiger said in his interview. You know, they said, you know, when he went to Chelsea, he was probably the best center back that Chelsea had seen since John Terry. Some people even comparing him, saying that, you know, technically better than and even technically better than John Terry. And Rudy, you know, like and all due respect, he said, yeah, but the one thing I can't take away from Cherry is he's Chelsea through and through. You know. He was an academy boy who came up through the ranks and was skipper. I was there for my 5 years and I did what I could do, but ultimately I didn't win the league, you know, and that was my one goal. And we ultimately fell short. He said, I won everything else. Cause if you look at Rudiger's, he won the Champions League, Europa League, FA Cup, you know what I'm saying? Like, he won the gambit.
He didn't win the Premier League with Conte.
No, he came the year after got him in we won in 2017. We got him the 17-18 year. We got him that summer.
That's crazy.
Yep. So never won a league with us, but
Rudiger's one of those defenders. Like, man, I was just like, bro, if he just stops making these dumb mistakes, like, he will be great. And that's exactly how I felt about Gabriel. Like, Gabriel used to just do reckless stuff, like Xhaka too. And I was just like, bro, you can do this reckless stuff, but within reason. And if you can do it within reason, you'll get away with it all the time. And really, like, he
perfected. He grew up at Chelsea. He grew up at Chelsea.
Sure. And I remember, like, because I remember talking to, like, you and Mike, and you guys,
because that first year it was rough. And I was the first year it was rough.
I was just like, nah, like, he will. You just have to give him a little bit of time. He will be great. Yeah. And I've always been a fan of Rudiger. No lie.
I think you know, Thiago Silva coming over also helped him.
Yeah, true.
Yeah,
bro. I mean, when you look at his time at Chelsea, not, you know, this will be the last thing about Rudiger, but he learned from a lot of the greats. He learned from a Terry. He learned from a David Luiz. He learned from a Thiago Silva. He actually had some real, real veterans who had played at the highest level, in some of the biggest stages. So he learned from some of the guys that were like, look, you have what it takes to be this. You just have to stop making these bonehead mistakes. And once he cleaned that up, he showed he could be one of the best center backs in the world. And he's consistently and still doing it now. So, it was dope to see. And it was dope to hear him say that. So it was cool to hear him say, like, yeah, I kind of grew up at Chelsea, you know, like, you know, me, and it was funny. He was like, me and Salah were at Roma at the same time. And if you look at our careers, I think we, like, both grew up once we made that step to the Premier League. And I was like, that's huge.
That's real.
That's huge. Dope. Yeah. So it's a good interview. It's about 45 minutes. Like I said, it's on YouTube. Go check it out if, you know, you're a Rudiger fan. There's a lot of gems in there. But yeah, man, let's get into our teams, bro. Let's get into our teams. So might as well start with the games today. Both Chelsea and United played today. Chelsea played against one of the teams that actually has been giving some teams this trouble this year, Nottingham Forest. It was at the Stamford Bridge. We drew 0-0 or 1-1. Nottingham Forest scored first off a set piece from James Ward-Prowse, kind of got played in the middle, was flicked on, and Chris Wood scored. Then about 5-10 minutes later, Nani Madueke comes back with a goal to equalize. And then the second half kind of was slow for a little bit. And then the last 13 minutes of extra times served to have a little bit more excitement. I don't really have a lot to say about this game. I have two main points. One, and I said this before we started recording, but Nottingham Forest, like, I see why they gave Liverpool some trouble, because they're defensively sound, and when you look at this team, they're built of players that have been in the Premier League before. You know, a lot of the guys have been on top four teams, top six teams, whatever you want to call it. And last year they kind of went through their lumps, but now that they've been in the Premier League for a year, now that they've actually gotten a few more players this summer, I feel like they feel like they can compete with anyone. You know, when you look at their team, they have Chris Wood, who was at Newcastle not too long ago. They have another Chelsea guy in Callum Hudson-Odoi. They have a lot of, you know, you look at their team, they have a lot of players. They have Anthony Elanga, who was just at United. So when you look at the teams that we root for, there were just a lot of guys that were on our squad a few years ago. Now on this Nottingham Forest, who was kind of like a ragtag group, but they have a lot of talent. So defensively, they're sound. And Ola Aina, I mean, he was another Chelsea guy, and he left a while ago. But what he's been able to do is, one, stay in the Premier League, and now he's one of the best right backs, right wingers in the league. Like, he is, you know, offensively, he can provide. Defensively, he's a force. You're not really getting through him. And so when you look around this squad, they have a lot of guys. And for me, my main point is, I'm glad that this Chelsea team didn't hold their heads down. After we got scored on first, we didn't kind of just sulk and go into a lull where for 10, 15 minutes, we kind of were just on the back foot. We got scored on and we were instantly back on the front foot. And that's what I like to see in this team. And that's how I know Maresca's got the mindset right. You know, he's got this team full of confidence and saying, hey, there's going to be lumps, but as long as we able to stick to the game plan, stick to what we're used to, we should be able to get through most instances. And I think today, unfortunately, we weren't able to get the 3 points, even being up a man in the second half. But I don't know. I think Forest is a formidable team. Shout out to them. And for us, I think it just shows that we're not quite there yet. We're a good team, and we're still top four, no matter what it says. But this is why I said, for us to finish top four at the end of the year, it's going to be a very, very tough battle, because these are the matches where championship type teams get the 3 points. And unfortunately, we weren't able to convert. So that's why I'm saying we're not quite there yet. But this game could have gone either way. I mean, it was back and forth. We could have lost. We could have won. I'm just glad to get out with the point, to be honest.
Yeah. Go ahead, Gabriel, sir.
No, I just want to say something quick. You know, they're saying Nottingham Forest is like the second best defensive team in the league, right? They're saying I've seen reports that people were saying, like, I haven't really watched Nottingham Forest this season that much, but
them and Liverpool have good. The least goals scored against. Yeah. Liverpool has six, I believe, and they have five. I mean, and think about it, they beat Liverpool. They snuck them 1-0. So it's when you look at the way this team is constructed, it's a very formidable squad. You know what I mean? Liverpool, like, and I haven't
Liverpool only have two goals against.
Yeah, and I believe they have five or six today gives them six. Yeah. So they have the second least goals against in the league, only against Liverpool, who they managed to get a result against. So when you look at this team, like, I mean, I haven't watched them play either. So, yeah, I watched highlights when they played Liverpool just to see how they were able to get the win. But when you look at this team, I mean, Morgan Gibbs-White, what he was able to do with the team, he's their number 10. I mean, he's dangerous, bro. He's very, very dangerous. So. Yeah. There's a lot of good things about Nottingham Forest, and for Chelsea, I'm glad we were able to get the result and just get our point, because this is the game last year we would have lost. I'll say that much, and I'll give it over to Mike.
Yeah, I mean, I think you made some very good points. We have to give Nottingham Forest their credit. Came in, held us. You know, we're defensively sound. Even going forward, they were dangerous. But I would say today was a Sanchez game for me. Came through big. Mason saves in the end that would have ended in a goal if he didn't make the save. So, you know, with him, all the mistakes he made last week, coming in this week, improving himself, you know, keeping the scoreline, our 1-1, you know, that's all I could ask for. This team has showed us that they're improving and they're doing better each week. We see them improve in a lot of aspects of the game. I mean, defensively, we're still poor. I mean, we were beat again on on a set piece. And mm-hmm. that has seemed to be the kind of our MO this season, being able to defend set pieces. So that aspect of the game, I would like to see some improvement. But overall, I'm proud of the boys. I mean, Nani getting his goal. He hasn't scored or assisted since his hat trick. So it was good to see him get back on the score sheet. The subs were made sense. I believe they were the right subs that were made. Modric came in, gave a couple of, you know, impressive crosses, which should have ended up in the back of the net. But, mm-hmm. you know, credit to the Forest keeper. But overall, I'm satisfied. We go into the international break in the top four. You know, there's still that confidence. There's still that hope. We are headed in the right direction. So as a fan base, this scoreline shouldn't, you know, deter us from, you know, what we have ahead of us. I think we just keep supporting the team. They'll come good for us. But today was, you know, you were hoping to get the win, but you don't walk away, you know, angry or, you know, concerned. So 1-1 is okay for us today.
I understand. I honestly, I feel you. Yeah. You guys are on the right path. Yeah. You're definitely on the right path. I mean, I didn't think you guys would be this good this quickly, honestly. Yeah. And honestly, yeah. The additions that you made are like, bro, you guys got Pedro Neto, bro. Like, I've always wanted him. We've yeah. been linked so many times. And I'm just like, bro, I would take him. Because every time we play Wolves, we used to play Wolves. He used to score against us or have an assist or something. Uh-huh. And I'm just like, bro, I would gladly take Pedro Neto, man. And you yeah. guys got him. I'm just like, and we're sitting here with Sterling, you know, can't even. Anyway. but yeah, yeah, no, you guys y'all are. You guys are. I know you guys are. You guys are definitely ahead of schedule, and I think you know Maresca obviously has a lot to do with that too. I think yeah. This is the manager to turn this around.
Absolutely.
Pep's sons, you know, they're doing it. When they get into, you know, when they get their managerial roles, from what I'm seeing so far, at least, you know, Maresca's, you know, he's still early into what he's doing, but still he looks proper. He looks proper.
Yeah. I think one day we would have to make a video on Pep's coaching tree because it's ridiculous.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
Honestly,
yeah. I mean, Chelsea's definitely headed in the right direction, and I agree with Mike. Going into the international break, top four. I mean, this is not what I would have expected 7 matches into the year, but I'll take it. I'll definitely take it. So we move forward to the second match that happened today. 0-0, Salam. Manchester United versus Aston Villa. And I know you gave a little smirk, but to be honest, for United, this is a great result. You know what I'm saying? With all the heat that's coming on Ten Hag right now, I told you before the game, with this lineup, I thought y'all was barbecue chicken. I thought the lineup was weak. And Rajat said, Rajat, who's been on the podcast, he said Ten Hag's job on the line and he starts the 2018 Leicester center back pairing. And I started cracking up because I'm like, that's honestly insane. Johnny Evans and Harry Maguire. Like, think about that. Insanity. Crazy. So for you guys to hold 0-0 and get a result, you know, hold this Unai Emery squad that's been balling these last few months, you know, what was your take on the game, and did you think you had the chance to get 3 points?
Gotcha. Gotcha.
Yeah.
that was involved with this.
You know, yeah, man, it was a tough watch. Like you said, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, a draw, getting a point at Villa Park, a top four team, a competitive team, is a good result in terms of the table. But, man, it's a tough watch, man. It's a very tough watch. And honestly, like, I don't know, bro. It's just tough because game to game, there's really nothing that, you know, is really going to inspire you going forward. You know, we just got done talking about Chelsea, and it's just like, you know, you can kind of, you know, see the direction they're going. You can kind of, you have a little bit of optimism based off of, you know, the performances that you're seeing week in, week out. And it's tough. And it's tough when the manager, quite frankly, like, makes decisions that I just don't understand. It just seems like he goes against his own, like, decisions. Like, I don't understand why some of these players that you have brought in for big money can't get any time. Like, why are they not getting any minutes? Ugarte, he didn't play midweek. Like, why is he not playing today? Like, I just don't get it. It clearly shows that you have a lack of trust in some of these people that you brought in. But then again, like, why did we bring them in? These are obviously voids that we needed in the team. These are, you know, voids that needed to be supplemented because the people that were there before, quite frankly, just weren't getting the job done. So, I mean, I thought it was incredibly gutsy to drop Lissandro and Dalip. I think he obviously was sending a message to both of them and I guess the team. But again, it's, you know, even that, like, he's kind of like a hypocrite, I have to say, because you can drop those two. You can even sub Marcus Rashford off, you know, someone that you really, you know what I'm saying, like, obviously support. But it's like, I don't know, man. How Bruno plays 90 minutes today, just after the week you've had, like, man. You know, no. But again, Gabriel, that shows me something. That tells me something. That clearly, he's afraid to take him off, I believe, because I think that if he takes him off, it's a very big influential person in the dressing room. I believe that, you know, his control over the team looks very fragile, because it's like, it doesn't matter what this guy does. If he plays a 10 out of 10 or a 0 out of 10. And I'm not putting all of this on him, obviously, but I just, you know, I would like to see my manager make decisions that are going to benefit the team. And, you know, you have to do what's best for the team always. We saw Arteta a few games ago. You took off Saka, you know, probably one of the best, you know, talking about player of the year early. He's definitely one of the candidates for sure. One of the best players in the Premier League, taken off. Why? Because at that point in the game, you know, a player of his profile is not what we needed. So, you know, I just think that just game to game, like, I just think that we're going to get a lot of these just inconsistent decisions and results, because it's hard for the team to build some sort of continuity based off of all the changes that you make. We talk about, you know, he had to drop the two today because he needed to rotate. Well, if you did a better job of rotating up until the season, you wouldn't have to, you know, drop your top players in one of the toughest places to play in the Premier League. So for me, man, you know, it's just real. It's getting difficult to kind of.
Can I ask you this? So you're speaking about him talking about rotating players.
Yeah.
Midweek in Europa League, takes off Rashford at halftime.
Yeah.
What were your thoughts on that?
I don't really think too much about things like that, just because, again, I just feel as if no player is too big to be taken off, regardless of who you are. Obviously, if you're not a player of a certain stature, yeah, we can give those guys the benefit of the doubt. If it's an off day, it's an off day. But again, respectfully, none of my players are players that, like, warrant staying on, you know.
But you don't think the game. his performance during that first half warranted him at least staying on for more than 45? Because he had it going in his fist.
No,
I mean, you don't think he was probably looking at this game this weekend?
Respectfully, bro, respectfully, kudos to Rashford. Got the goals and assists. He played awful. Absolutely awful that half. Man, I am not be like by that. Any means by any means I'm not blinded. No, that's again, fair. That's fair. For anybody who doesn't, I watched the game. Yeah. I watched it. I don't know if you guys watched the game. For anybody who just, if you look at the game, obviously, and just say, oh, you see a goal and assist, you would think
he balled you know, out.
Yeah, no, I this is no, I'm not.
I just wanted to take your temperature on that.
Yeah, no, yeah. I don't consume the game that way. I look at it for what it is, and quite frankly, like, it just wasn't good enough. I felt as if, especially some of the effort. Again, we're talking about things that I feel like as professionals, I didn't think we would need to be talking about. But just from an effort standpoint, man, when it comes to that guy, like, I think he's very talented, but some of the application, bro, is just not there. In the modern game, I'm sorry, you're going to have to do a little bit more. Everybody has offensive and defensive responsibilities, regardless of where you are, you know. Yeah. I coach youth soccer. I tell my keeper, "You're my first attacker." I tell my striker, "You're my first defender." Mm-hmm. That's a U14 team. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is. I shouldn't feel like I have to say that, but to answer your question, Mike, I felt like he was warranted to be taken off. I think Bruno, quite frankly, has had three very poor games. I mean, I hate that. It's not all on him, but just a study needs to be conducted.
The 14 is 14 from games.
Bro, the fall off is crazy.
Yeah.
In all of sports, I've never seen like, wow, bro. And he's a it's real like, double this is the last thing that I'll say, though. It's just like the hardest thing for him is like, playing simple, simplifying his game. Everything has to be worldly. Everything has to be an outside of the foot pass. Everything has to be, you know, this or that. And I just feel as if, you know, we had a little bit more, you know, possession-based players in the team, you would see a little bit of continuity and a rhythm, especially when we get into the attacking third. So, you know, that's essentially true. More of the same, which is that's frustrating.
Where are you on your manager?
This will be the – I actually said this to you, Mike, before we started. Mm-hmm. I believe if you're going to sack the manager, it has to be now. And it has to be now because it's the international break. You have 2 weeks to prepare, you know, for whoever's going to come in and be that interim. And quite frankly, like, you got to salvage the season. When you look at the season as a whole, like, look at us where we are in Europe. It's not ideal, but, like, we can still salvage something out of that. When you look at the Premier League table, again, we're not in an ideal spot, but, you know, if we were to make a move now, we could potentially save this season. So if he was going to get the sack, I feel like it would have to be like now.
Mm-hmm. When's the next international break?
I think this is the last one.
This is like, the last one?
In this calendar year.
This is calendar year. Oh, yeah, honestly. Yeah, I don't blame you. You can't do it before the window.
Yeah, I'm at it.
Right, during the window, yeah. So, yeah, no, I agree. I don't know. Kerry has been on to something. He said, get this manager out of here for time.
No, I hear from Kerry a lot. Kerry's probably
yeah. Gonna know he be in your DM. Like,
bro. Yeah, bro.
I'm like, I got to duck you too, man. Damn, man. I see that Trinidad and Tobago flag in my DMs, and I'm like,
man. Because, man, some of his decisions, bro, I'm just –
He's right. Kerry's right, though, in a lot of aspects. It's just like, again, bro, like, I don't know, man. Like, it's hard. Like, I just feel like sometimes, like Rajad said, bro, like, your game's on the line. Sometimes it looks like you want to get the sack. Like, you just.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Crazy. Like,
if he were, I mean, he gets 17 mil in, like, compensation. And
because y'all gave him that 2-year extension. Yeah. He won a cup.
He won two cups. You know what I'm saying? He could literally take the rest of the calendar year off, and you know, by then someone in world football would probably be on the hot seat. So yeah, man, it's we'll see what happens, but it's gonna be an interesting 48 hours for sure.
Yeah. Man, do you see someone on the radar that I guess you guys have Rude in the tuck?
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
man. Oh, yeah. Listen, this agenda has begun.
Well, that's why you're staying calm, right? That's why you're staying calm.
Yeah, I'm not bothered.
No, look at what Rudy was doing in Holland. Yeah, it's not a big league. It's not the Premier League, but he has PSV in the Champions League. Yeah. Literally, that was his doing. Yeah. So I don't know. It might not be the same league, but onto something.
Nah, listen, this agenda has begun as soon as he was added to the staff.
Oh, yeah.
The next report out of United, all the strikers are just gravitating towards Rude.
Gabriel.
They're just –
The
misconception about that is that bringing Rude in was an Erik ten Hag signing. He wanted him in.
Which makes sense.
Both Dutch guys, it makes sense.
No, but I hear you though. Like, it would make sense for him to take over at least, like in the interim. Mm-hmm. But it's not as if like United brought him in and said, "Here's your number two," because we have this long term vision of, you know, you replacing him. This was Erik ten Hag saying, "I want him on my coaching staff." So
he didn't know he made
his hot seat even hotter by bringing Rude in.
Exactly.
Like, he probably didn't know that. But now the powers that be are looking at Rude like, okay, you're already a United guy. There's already a fit here. We've already seen what you can do. Why not just plug in? You know what I mean? It's very easy to insert him now that he's already there.
I can see them giving Rude the rest of the season. And if they see some improvement, it's like, all right, maybe we'll give you another year. You know, like I'm not saying, you know, I understand it's a Ten Hag signing, but the reality is the reality. He brought him in.
No, I mean, yeah, you're right.
And
it could be. But I'm just letting you know what the facts are. It's not like there's not like a master plan behind it. It was just this is who I think. And I think it was the correct signing. Like you said, he's familiar with the club, with the league. So like, and he's Dutch. Apparently, if you're Dutch, you're linked to United. So I mean, yeah, man. We'll see what happens, but
I feel that. We'll see what's going on after the international break. But, you know, moving on backwards to our Saturday match, we saw Arsenal get a pretty convincing 3-1 win. Gabriel, how do you feel about this Arsenal team, even though you're starting to see them kind of start to drop on the table? You know, now that you see Liverpool in first place, City in second, you guys are in third. You know, points-wise, you guys are right there, of course, but you know, as far as how you look at the Premier League table, you know, does this worry you? I know it's early in the season, but as far as your team, how do you think you stack up against the rest of the top four?
I really could care less about the table right now. Like, I'm not looking at the table at all, if I'm being completely honest. Like, it's so early. There's really no point. I mean, I understand. I'll look at the table if we're dropping points, you know, obviously, but you know, we're top three. We're exactly where we need to be. We're 1 point off, you know, first. You know, teams are going to continue to win until, you know, they drop points. So I'm not really looking at it right now. I'll probably look at it, you know, in probably another 7 weeks. That's when I really start looking at the table, like, okay, like, what are teams really looking like, you know, a third into the season. But, yeah, no, this weekend, honestly, it was frustrating, bro. First and foremost, I just want to say that Arteta just needs to give away this Partey right back experiment. We've tried it. This is maybe our third to fourth time. It just does not work. It doesn't work. It hasn't worked. It's never worked. And I understand what you're trying to do, but it doesn't work, bro. You've tried it in every which way. You've tried it against City. You've done it against Southampton. It has not worked, fam. just let it go. Just let it go. But yeah, honestly, I can see we miss Odegaard a lot in these matches, you know. But I was just really frustrated I just think we got the tactics wrong in the beginning. I just don't think this Partey experiment should have gone, should have happened at all. I don't think, I understand what he was trying to do with putting Kai Havertz in the midfield, but obviously that doesn't work either. Jesus, you know, I see what he was trying to do, you know, give guys minutes, give guys some time to, you know, this is Southampton. We should go and score 6 goals. You know what I mean? This is one of those matches, you know, give guys some confidence, keep them sharp. But some of these guys just did not look good. And as soon as our subs came on, as soon as we got scored on, you know, which was a wake-up call, like, we dominated the first 15 minutes. I think we're going to score. And then we just, it just dead. It just goes dead, you know. The life kind of got sucked out of the stadium. Wasn't as loud. People were just waiting for the goal. Like, yo, like, what's going on? And nothing was getting created. And as soon as we got scored on, then it's like, oh, yeah, it's time to wake up now. Like, we're not dropping points to Southampton if you want to win the league. And the subs, you know, all warranted. Every person that came off, I feel like it was the right decision. And immediately you saw the change. You know, we started playing a lot quicker, a lot faster. And, yeah, no, it was frustrating for the first 65 minutes. Like, I was sitting there like, what am I watching? If I'm being completely honest, I was like, this is absolutely terrible. But especially at home, that's what makes it worse. I feel like we should just be dominating these teams at home. Like, I don't feel like we should ever be, I don't know. Like, we're at home, bro. Like, we have to, if we want, we have to pretty much win every game at home if we want to win the league. That's how I look at it. You have to, how many of these teams, you know, Liverpool, City, they go undefeated at home for 40 matches. Yeah. Like, you have to do that, bro. You have to. If you want to win the league, you have to do this. And so the first 65 minutes for me were just so frustrating. But once we made the subs, you know, we had a little wake-up call. You know, we came back to life and got a goal quickly and, you know, made it happen. So, yeah, I'm happy about the – I'm happy about, you know, the performance. You know, we just, like, one of those we move. But this is 2 weeks in a row now that we've, you know, we've blown a lead, and then, you know, we had to come back from 1-0 down at home. And it's like, why are we struggling against these teams? In my opinion, like, this team wasn't bought and put together to be struggling against these teams. I know it's new, but a lot of, this is the same lineups, bro. Like, why is this happening? So it's a little concerning, but we're getting these points. You know, it's not luck either. It's not one of those, you know, oh, we got a lucky this. Like, no, we're coming back, and we're kind of, in a sense, like, doing the same thing that City does. You know, City will go down 1-0. They went 1-0 down against Fulham this week, and then they came back, Kovacic with 2 goals, you know, quick. So we kind of have that. Yeah, which never happens, but, you know.
He gets 1. The fact that he got 2 was insane.
Yeah, it's insane. Whoever hit that bet is crazy. But yeah, no, it's just we kind of have that effect now too, so I kind of have to understand that, you know, that just comes with being dominant. But at the same time, I don't like to see that, you know what I mean? But happy with the result. You know, Saka, another 2 assists and a goal, doing his thing. He's on fire. Yeah, he's and I'm looking at him like, I want you to score more, but it's like, bro, you're it's like you're in most of our goal involvements, so I can't even be mad, you know what I mean? Like, as soon as I said I want you to score more, he puts in a goal, you know, yesterday. So yeah, no, I feel like, you know, he has friendly competition in Cole Palmer. Like, Cole Palmer's emergence is like, nah. I'm going to push you to the limits. Who's really going to be the best? And Cole Palmer's been balling out. Every match is either goal and assist for him, another assist for him today. So I feel like he's also looking at his counterparts like, no, if I want to be considered world-class and this on the third, I have to ball out just like these guys. And, you know, 7 assists in the first, 7 matches? Crazy. Spot, I don't know.
That right wing spot for England, man.
It's crazy. Yeah, no, it's nuts. You can put Foden there, you can put Cole Palmer there, you can put Saka there. Like,
who do you think is winning that race right now based off of this season?
I mean
Foden's not in there. I'm saying between Saka.
It's between Saka and CB.
Honestly, and this is like, me being completely honest. I would put Cole Palmer there just because he scores.
Wow.
Just no. He scores more. Like,
you know what I'm saying?
Palmer's a 10.
I'll say you keep Saka there.
You
and put Palmer in the 10, take Foden out.
Yeah, Palmer's a 10.
Or bro. Do that. Or do that.
On the field.
Yeah. I don't know if you're putting one at right wing, though, like I honestly, I'm biased. I want to keep Saka there. But if I'm just stacking up the players, bro, Cole Palmer scores a lot. Of course,
he scores a lot.
Like, I know he scored 4 just last week, but he scores a lot. Like, this is going back
different
to
ways. Week. I mean,
set and different, piece, yeah. And like, angers, and I'm not saying soccer, yeah. And yeah,
even the left ways, foot near, even the left foot near post goal. Like, that was one of those just little snapshots. He's getting it quickly. Like, he's seeing a slight angle, and he's getting it before the keeper can react.
Yeah,
and these are different like, type of goals he's scoring. You know what I mean?
Like, and Saka scores. Don't get it twisted. You know, like Saka, what, 15 goals last year? Or something, 12, 13 goals, something like that last year? Like, he scores goals. But, bro, Cole Palmer's putting up – I expect he's probably going to put up another 20-goal season. You know what I mean? Like, that he's based on his numbers already, that's where he's trajecting or going towards. So, that's his trajectory. So, if I'm just looking at, you know, wingers and what I want them to – yeah, I mean, obviously I think Saka fits – what they're doing right now, but I think they both need to start, bro.
Yeah, they both. I mean, Foden is the odd man out
right now. Yeah, for sure.
10. Yeah. I wanted to ask you this one more thing. Sorry to cut you off, but you spoke about some of the positions like Partey at right back, Havertz playing, you know, in the midfield. How do you feel about Gabriel Jesus and Sterling starting? Because I know most of you Arsenal fans are getting tired of, you know, Martinelli's, you know, unproductivity.
Martinelli's been productive these past two
matches. Yeah, but that's what I was going to ask you. I mean, you saw the change, and then
I think
it didn't seem like it worked.
Okay. To answer your first question about Sterling and Jesus, I knew there they were going to start. Honestly, like, I felt it. I was like, they're going to start. One of them's going to start for sure. Because we got, like I said, we need guys to stay sharp. We need guys to get confidence and be confident on the bench because we have a lot of matches. This is just the reality of it, right? So I wanted to see what they looked like, and they didn't really do much. And Martinelli last match, you know, I think what he had an assist or a goal. I forgot what he had last match. Yeah, he had a goal last match. And it was good. It wasn't good to see them not do well, but it's good to see the competition in the team because I feel like this woke Martinelli up. I feel like no one was really competing for a spot outside of maybe Trossard. And now that we have guys that, I mean, what we can put 4 different guys at left wing. You know what I mean? We have Martinelli, we have Trossard, we have what's it called? Sterling. We have Jesus. You know what I mean? So that's 4 different guys you could put on left wing if you really wanted to. So it's like you have to be on your A game all the time. And I feel like Martinelli has, you know, been in a slump recently, but I feel like now he's seeing, oh, these guys are in the team. This is how these guys – I don't know. Maybe this is how you guys train, you know. I don't know what it is, but I feel like something has now awoken in him. And we need one of these guys to be firing at all times. That's just the reality of it. We need – one of our wingers to always – Saka will always get his, obviously. I mean, like, he will always do what he needs to do. I don't have to worry about him. Like I said, I'm not worried about Saka. Saka will progress as he needs. He just needs to stay healthy. That's it. But on the left side, it's competition, bro.
Yeah.
It's competition. And you have to eat what you kill. Like, you have to get it done. You have to get it done. And Jesus hasn't been there. Sterling, you know – it's going to take him some time to integrate into the team. You know what I mean? He just came.
Mm-hmm.
But Martinelli, you've been here for time, bro. You know what I mean? Been here for a little bit now. We need you to be on your A game. You haven't been, and maybe these guys pushing you in training and pushing you to be better, that's why we're getting these past 2 matches, better performances. So, yeah, man. It was, like I said, it was a tough match to watch. I was happy that we got the goals at the end, but yeah, man. Some of these guys, you know, guys will go in and out of form. And like I said, as long as one of my left wingers is in form, I'm good. And that can be Trossard too, because like I said, Trossard is he's kind of our big moment player. You know what I mean? So as long as we have one of these guys scoring, assisting, I'm good, bro. Kai Havertz, like I said, he will do what he needs to do. What did I say? What did I say about Kai Havertz? If he did almost, he did what, almost, I think 20 GA or almost 20 GA last year with half of the season playing in the midfield, this season, I expect big numbers from you. And what is he doing? He's almost scoring every single game, or it has some type of goal involvement. Like, I'm content with my team, bro. I'm not happy about how we looked, but we're doing what we need to do. 3 points, we move. You know, international break, guys can rest, get their legs back, whatever. Timber, I want to see you back on the pitch. Just the honest truth. Ben White, I also want to see you too, but Timber, I definitely want to see you back on the pitch. And in 2 weeks, you know, I expect everyone, hopefully, you know, no one gets hurt on the international break. I hope that for all your teams too, and I have in mind all you guys' teams, and come back, because we have some big matches coming up, bro. We see Liverpool soon. You know, league leaders right now. You see Liverpool really, really soon. So
that's going to be.
Sure. You know what I mean? Like, we've already seen City. You know what I mean? Now we're seeing the league leaders, and it's very, very soon. So, yeah, man. Right. I want everyone healthy. We're in a good spot. We're in a very, very good spot. And what did Arnie Slot say? He hasn't played a top team. You'll see a top team very soon, fam. Very soon. Very, very soon. Listen, bro. Very soon. Because
I love it.
I want to touch on Liverpool. But
I love the Cinderella story.
I want to touch on Liverpool, but
Cinderella very soon. Is crazy.
Premier League darling right now. All right, let's talk about it. Liverpool.
I'm
just laughing because Salam's had an agenda.
The season's long, bro. It's a long season.
Yeah, no.
We got more than 30 matches left.
Arnie said we haven't seen a top team yet. You will see
that's fine.
Soon, fam.
I remember Big Ange talking like this, and then that's all good.
Speaking of Liverpool, though, man, what do you guys think? Because
I want to see when they have their first real test. Just being completely honest,
it's us.
Wait, is y'all
first
y'all
play? Test. It's us.
When y'all play them?
What Chief Keef say at the top? It's just us.
Wait. When do y'all play them?
Next, when we come back from
the week before
international break. Okay, bet. Yeah, so yes, I want to see what they look like against Chelsea.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, we're alluding to it, so we might as well, I guess, get into predictions, and then we can do shout outs and all that.
No, I want to say this before we move. I wanted us to touch on Liverpool a little bit. I know we're kind of past time.
You haven't played anyone real, bro.
That was my reaction last week was, okay, so are we seeing the, the benefit of having Klopp's team, or is this guy actually good?
That was a very good weekend. Highlight recap.
You
know,
We haven't really touched that on the pod. Where do you guys stand on Arnie?
I think it's that new manager buzz.
Okay.
Whenever guys get a new manager, buzzing. And listen, their matchups have been very favorable.
Oh yeah.
They haven't played anyone really real.
Even their one loss. Look at
they haven't played anyone really real yet.
What about their one loss?
I mean, it came from Forest, but
yeah.
And then, that's what I'm saying. I keep bringing it up. I see how they snuck Liverpool, because if you're a defensively sound team who isn't really going to push forward and then take your chances where you can kind of shock this squad, you know, because they want to run with you.
I thought they had so much firepower. I thought.
No, it wasn't that because if you look at the highlights, Liverpool had mad chances to score. They just didn't convert. It was just Forrest getting, you know, the one chance and converting, to be honest.
That's fair.
Even the Chelsea match, like today, they didn't really have much. Until the very end, they didn't have much. Mm-hmm. But when they got their few chances, like they were dangerous. And so you just have to be clinical against Liverpool. But sorry to cut you off, but to I don't know. To comment, Mike, I think that they do have the benefit of that Klopp team. I said that from the jump. They didn't do much over the summer. They had one signing. This is the same exact team. So this is just them having a conference with this new manager and saying, hey, this already been working, bro. Like, can you just help us in these few areas? That's what it sounds like to me. So we'll see. We'll see what happens when we come out.
It's hard for me to judge him because I when I watch, I'm like, okay, I'm still watching Klopp's team. Like, let's be for real, you know? So it's like, I can't really tell if, I mean, it's hard to mess this Liverpool team up. If you're a manager coming in that's seen how these guys have played together, you know, for these past few seasons, and then you come in and try to do something completely different, you're just stupid. Let them keep doing what they've been doing. And that's how I see it. I don't look at Slaughter and like, he's doing something crazy. He's literally just letting them do what they did, you know, before he got there. So that's what I think.
Yeah, I mean, I'll have to admit, obviously, they've had, like, a great start to the season. But, and I mean, what he said was right. I mean, we haven't he hasn't really faced a tough opponent. I don't think the game against us by any means was tough for him. So, I mean, I don't know. We'll see. I think he's had a fantastic start. I don't want to take anything away from him. I think what you do have to give him credit for is coming in, you see what they want to do. Oh, you see what they, you know, how they want to play. So I think that there's a lot of benefits from taking over what's already a, you know, pretty established team. But I think the test against Chelsea, and then they'll have to play Arsenal not too far after that. I think it's back-to-back, actually. So,
I want to see what they do against Chelsea.
It's exactly back-to-back.
In about a month, we'll see. I just want to note.
I want to
already having to put your shoulder around players when they're getting subbed off. Okay.
Okay. No, I hear you, bro. I really want to see what Liverpool does against Chelsea, bro.
Slotty behavior.
Really want to see. And it's at home. Don't take an L at home, bro.
Is that Anfield?
You're gonna come to the Emirates and gonna be smoked.
We might as well get some predictions.
At Anfield. Listen, if Mens loses at Anfield, come to the Emirates, gonna get slapped up. You're gonna get slapped up.
Let's get into predictions, Mike. We have this international break, and then we come back October 20th. Chelsea versus Liverpool at Anfield. Man, I want all the smoke. 2-1 Chelsea.
Yeah.
2-1 Chelsea.
I'll say
I'm confident in this team. If we don't win, I'd see a draw. But going into Anfield, I'm confident, actually. I'm really confident. Liverpool looks beatable. I don't know if will be back. The left back will be back by then.
Robertson.
But if we have to go against Tsimikas, I mean, I feel good about that.
He played a little bit today.
No, I don't think it was.
Was
this? I think Robertson is out. I might be wrong, but I think Robertson is out. But I'm confident. I'm confident in this team.
Robertson came in as a sub. He got 10 minutes.
Oh, he came in. Okay. He then he's good. Well,
yeah, he's back.
Hopefully, we if we get a full lineup, I'm still confident. I think we can get a result at Anfield.
Yeah, Jose Mourinho once said the Premier League, the table is a reflection of where you are. And as that pertains to my team, we are five points above the relegation zone.
Jeez.
Who knows?
By
the time we prepare for this Brentford game, we may have a new manager. Who knows? Yeah, it'll be an interesting 2 weeks. I'll be honest, man. I don't know how long Wissa's out for. I don't know if he's back already.
No, he'll be out for a while.
He's out for a minute. I thought they said 3 months.
Even without him, I feel like it's still going to be difficult. Brentford scores. That's one thing about them. I said that
early.
Another goal in like a minute and a half today. Like, bro, what is going on?
Getting in quick, but
they smacked Wolves too, 4-2.
No, 5-3.
5-3. 5-3. Sorry. Yeah, 5-3.
Crazy.
Yeah, I'm going to go. If we don't lose, I'm going to go for a draw. I think that seems like a realistic. If
we don't lose,
if this current regime stays, I think that's just kind of where we are, man.
Do you think he'll be your manager next match?
Honest opinion.
Have to happen tomorrow.
Personal opinion.
If you're asking me, I think he stays.
Okay.
Like my point earlier, I just feel as if, like, if you know, and this is really when you have to look at Ineos. I'll keep it short, but this is really where you have to look at Ineos, you know, the people in charge, and being like, okay, like, what's the plan here? You know, do you feel confidence in this guy, or you know, can you guys show that you guys do have the power that you say you have, and you know, you bring in someone with, you know, with an idea? But I personally think he stays. I think, his time, we'll see. Could be Christmas, could be tomorrow. But yeah. I'm slowly starting to believe that we may not finish the season with him.
It's hard to think he would be around when the results just don't improve. The style of play don't improve. It's hard to see any progression when it's the same. You can keep hope. But if you're not scoring and you're not keeping it out either, what kind of hope are you holding on to? See, if you're scoring and at least you're not conceding, you're like, hey, at least we're playing good defense. If you're not getting scored on and you're not scoring either, you're like, hey, at least, you know, you're holding.
Yeah.
Like, you don't hold, you don't score. You know, it's like hard to like, okay, where's the real progression here? So I don't know.
Next,
like you said, though, this might be the right time, perfect window to do it. But we'll see.
I think this is the right time. If you guys don't get rid of him, bro, it's going to be. It might be a. What, remember when Chelsea was like 13th? Yeah. Remember when Chelsea was 13th that one season?
We were 15th as well.
15th, yeah. It might be one of those, man. And
when you look at it, bro, everyone's only played 7 matches, so there's only 21 total points to be had, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to be in week 29 or 28, you know, looking when there's so many points. Now these 3 points, they don't move you from 8th place to 6th.
Exactly. That's what our issue was.
They keep you right where you at in the middle of the table. Mm-hmm. And so it's easier to nip it in the bud before it's too many points, and then you can't really climb how you want to climb. Because trust me, Chelsea last year, the fact we even made it to 6th place was a miracle.
Yeah.
Was a miracle from where we were the first half of the year. So just speaking from experience, you want to get points early and often. And if you can get them early, it gives you a lot more wiggle room later in the year.
Yeah.
Who y'all play here, bro?
We see Bournemouth, I believe, away.
This is like you guys got like a lot of tough games out of the way, I feel like, early.
Yeah.
We saw Spurs early, got a dub, City early, saw Villa early. This is a kind of our chill period until we see. Well, I mean, we have tough games coming up, but yeah, anyway, we see Bournemouth away. I fully expect us to get 3 points. You know, I don't care how ugly it is. You know, I want us to get back to getting clean sheets. I feel like we've just been getting scored on, and I don't like that. You know, we had the Golden Gloves winner for a reason, and I'm not gonna say it wasn't, you know, he didn't have any part in it, because he definitely had a part, but defensively is because we were sound. And recently, I don't feel like we've been that sound. Like, I feel like teams keep sneaking the goal on us for whatever reason. So I want to, you know, go away, get a clean sheet, 2-0, you know, and move, because we have Champions League, and then we see Liverpool after that. So,
I agree with you, because if you look at, like, the progression you guys have made, you shouldn't be conceding as much.
And we shouldn't, bro. Like, there's no
last
reason.
Last year, you went to that you know, defensive stratosphere of, you know, tough to break down, tough to beat. We don't concede. And then it seems like this year you're just
conceding.
It's
ridiculous. And that's the thing. We spent more money on defenders. So it's like, and they're starting, you know, so why are we getting scored on? I just don't.
Maybe them getting used to each other's style of play could be part of it.
I mean, like, Calafiore looks good for sure, but I was watching him last match. Like, hey, buddy, be getting beat. Like, I'm not even trying to. Like, buddy, be getting beat.
Maldini.
You gotta relax.
No, that's what they said, right?
No,
they did. They did say that.
And I wasn't even gonna bring it up. I wasn't.
Yeah, they did say that. I didn't, bro. Come on, that's what.
These are the people on the TV that.
No, but these pundits too. They be sending these people up too. Like, why are you asking a question about Cavallo and Terry comparing to Gary? Like, even if you look at that, it's not unfair. And then you're saying Calafiore and all, like, come on, guys.
No, it's what they're trying to push, though.
You know, like, let's not do that. Yeah. Y'all know it's not even close.
The face fit, you know.
We're not even going to do that.
Like, just even career-wise, we're not even talking trophies or anything. It's just,
he's played how many games?
He's played like four matches and he's already been injured, you know. Like, I'm not saying he's Maldini, but.
You remember when they said Martial was the next Henry, man? I think this fits.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's crazy.
I just don't see why not.
Maldini was not.
I think we should roll with it, man. I think we should roll with it.
But no, I think I'm just looking at last match. Like, buddy, now I'm not gonna lie, he makes some crazy tackles, like some crazy tackles. Like he does. He is a great defender, but when he gets beat, it looks bad, bro.
He be doing this. This is your defender, bro. You got a nigga. I'm sorry. You got a player doing this. You know what I'm saying? That's your player.
We had a couple of those. You know, we had Bellerin. Bellerin was doing that. You know, I have to have Ben.
You know. Pretty boy entertainment. Pretty boy entertainment over there.
Yeah, you
got to engage in battle as a defender. I got to look over. This nah, man. Let's do shout outs, man.
Yeah.
You guys.
I'll go first. So my shout out, and I wanted to save it for the end of the episode. My shout out is Paul Pogba, man, for just working behind the scenes to do whatever he had to do to appeal to get his ban from 4 years down to 18 months, which of most he has already served. So he will be eligible to play in the year 2025. Shout out Pogba, man. I think the world rejoiced when we heard that news this past week.
Yep.
And I'm just very, very happy for him as a player, as an African, because, you know, he's only 31, 32. He still has a lot of left in the tank. And I think we were even saying that, you know, when he first got the ban initially on the podcast, I think we all said it's tough for him to get this kind of in the prime of his playing career. You know, I think he got hit with the ban when he was 29, 30 years old. So for him to be able to get some of those years back is huge. So just shout out to him. And I can't wait to see what happens. I just hope he stays in good health through the rest of his career. So that's me.
100%. Shout out Pogba, man. The world needs you back in football, man. Until you retire, bro. We need you back in football.
I saw a tweet that said Antoine Griezmann is going to unretire from the French national team after hearing that Pogba was back, because he's for the culture. So,
nah, man, that's a good one. Definitely shout out to Paul Pogba. I'll go next. Shout out Temwa Chiwenga for tying the NWSL record for most goals in a season.
I think
it's a matter of time until she's crowned MVP. It's also a matter of time until we have a new record holder for the most goals in a season.
They got four games left in the regular season.
Four games. She may get four goals in four games at the rate that she's at.
Yeah.
Even higher. So
probably more, yeah.
Shout out to her, man, MVP.
Thanks. Oh, man. My shout out is to CJ Sapong, man, coming on the pod. You know.
Damn, Mike, don't spoil it for people. Damn, you already. This is the end of the episode. Hopefully, by now, you're probably gone.
Yeah. Nobody's watching. Yeah, a little sneak peek.
You're going to cut this out. Well, my shout out.
You might have.
Don't have to.
It's all good, man. Hey, you know what? You deserve it. If you're still watching at this point, you deserve to know what's happening. I just don't say it to anybody else.
Anyways, my shout out is to the boys, man. The boys in blue. Always. Boys in blue. Madueke, Saka GA.
Maduki. I can't believe they said that about me.
How did that slide, by the way? How did that not go viral? That's crazy. Out, but anyway.
Shout out to whoever does the announcer at the Ohio State Stadium. He said Maduki. My God.
Hey, that was crazy.
This is why we don't come to this bullshit. This is why we don't come.
No, facts still
fact. That is fact. This is why we don't come to America.
Go ahead.
You Americans can't even pronounce your name.
My shout out, honestly, man, shout out Saka. People saying he's not world class. Shout out.
That's a whole new video, bro.
That's a whole new video, bro.
At this point in time?
Yes.
But
in this moment in time, yes.
But not even in this moment in time. But people say, oh, he's not world class. All right. Shut him up real quick.
Over the last year, I think his resume has shown that he's world class.
Guys, when I think of world class,
he needs to win something.
It's the consistency.
He needs to win something.
Like we said,
when he wins something, then all this talk will go away. He wins a prem. He wins a champion. All of this will go away.
He doesn't need a prem to be considered world class, though. He's world class. There's a lot of players who haven't necessarily won something. Big.
Yeah, but in this day and age, bro, people don't
in this climate. In this climate,
just look at these trophies, man. That's it. Ronaldo and they see Messi and they say, "Where are your trophies, fam?"
But if you think of right wingers right now, do you put Saka one? No doubt. I don't think.
I do.
I'm not talking about
he's not over Vinny.
Talking about in the world. I'm not talking about Vinny.
Like what?
Vinny's not a right winger. I'm talking about players who play on the right side.
On the right side.
Him and Palmer. If you don't say Saka, it's Palmer. And if it's not Palmer, it's Saka.
In the world or in the prem?
I think in the world, I forgot.
Yeah, are we talking in the world or in the prem? Because in the prem, we can for sure say, yeah, those are the top two. Yeah,
but we're talking
world class. We're saying world class.
Okay, hold on. You know what? Start subset.
And let's table.
Hold on. Start subset.
You crazy.
Start subset. You started it. Let's finish it. Yamal. Start sub cell, Yamal, Cole Palmer, Saka. Who are you starting? Who are you subbing? Who are you selling? Go ahead.
Lord.
I'm biased, but I'm starting Yamal. I'm subbing Palmer and Saka. I'm sorry, you gotta go.
Wow.
I'm sorry, but I'm sorry. That's me. Yamal is clearly
switch. I ain't gonna lie. The way Yamal's been balling, he got to start.
He's 17. He's 17 years old.
He's one.
Yamal is one. Saka on the bench, though. Cole Palmer, right? Saka on the bench.
I agree with that one.
Saka on the bench.
The thing is, the crazy part is we don't even really know Yamal's true peers because he's 17. Those are his peers.
Those are his peers, bro.
Right winger in the world, bro.
He has a point.
You know what I mean? Like his true peers.
You're an adult now, bro. You're an adult. I guess so. You feel me? Like, you know.
He gets the adult treatment. No more juvie for you.
But no, some of the things I've seen Yamal do, like that touch out of the air when he was playing the Euros, bro, just like perfect, exactly. I don't know, bro. His left foot is crazy. Like this is, yeah, what he's been doing
is messy level.
You too.
It's messy level, bro.
Yeah. What he's been doing, his left foot has been ridiculous, man. Yeah. I don't know. Like Cole Palmer, Saka, they've been doing their things with their left foot, but bro, this kid. This kid, truly a kid, is crazy.
Even with him, I would say world class, but I'm not saying it lightly because it's like, you haven't been around long enough.
And we're going over time, and maybe this is something we should do on the side, but I've noticed this over like the last couple of years, the emergence of left-footed players. You know, I feel like when we were growing up, you maybe saw one or two on a team that wasn't the left back or the left winger. Mm-hmm. Now you look at teams, and every team has two or three very, very talented left-footed attacking players. And I don't know when that happened.
We got Anthony and
Ahmad.
Yeah, I like Ahmad, but Anthony.
I don't know, but ever since the emergence of these left-footed players, the winger dynamic has shifted. You know, like they started putting left-footed players on the right players on the left, because it's like, oh, now I have a really good left-footed player who wants to shoot, so let me put him on the other side so we can cut in. And so I don't know when that started to happen. It's been like the last 5 to 10 years, but it's just been cool to watch. But
I would say Robin opened that door, because when he started doing that little cut, and you just knew it was done. Yeah.
You just couldn't stop it. You literally just couldn't stop it.
Bro, that was the craziest thing for me in football. Like it was for the
when they moved the left footed player to the right. It's like
I couldn't comprehend how this guy it
was like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And you just knew there was nothing you could do. Literally nothing.
Yeah, and the crazy, his right foot was, like, no disrespect to him, but it's like his right foot wasn't anything like
anything.
Crazy.
Yeah.
So it was like, even if you gave him the line,
he still
crossed it in. It's like, just give him the line. I don't like if he crosses it in with his right foot and they score, mm-hmm. I'll be like, okay.
All right.
We're watching. I don't know, bro. Robin, he was different. He was
Robin
different.
Was crazy. No. I used to
think, I don't know.
Like, me and you know it's about to happen. You're seeing it happen.
Yeah.
And then it goes in.
We planned for it. You see it. Yeah.
Same thing with Messi too, bro. Like, you know he's going left. Messi, and it's just like, you can't stop it, bro. You just, unfortunately, this is something that you just can't control. Bro,
yeah.
When you watch Messi's dribbling over and over, you can cut all of this out, Solana, if you want. When you keep watching Messi's dribbling over and over again, like those highlight videos, it doesn't make sense sometimes, because it's almost like he's predicting what this guy's going to put his foot like two tricks ahead of time before he even does it.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'm looking at it like, oh, he has to just be bullshit. Didn't know that he was going to do this. Because it's just crazy. Like, when watch it over and over again, it's just like...
Bro, but that's like, it's crazy, because like my uncles used to tell us stories like, but like George Weah would say that he was like, I already knew how I was going to beat the first player. I was thinking about how I was going to beat the second player. Like, think about it. Like you're already knowing. All right, I'm going to cut to the left. But now that I'm on my left, like, your brain's already moving past the first defender. So it's like certain players, they just see the game different. It's like,
bro, look at the crew game. The goal, I think kicked it around the keeper. Bro, I was thinking in my head, that's not what I would have done. Like, but it was so quick. The gap between him beating those two defenders and the keeper, like, all he did was just a tap. But I swear on everything, all four of us probably wouldn't have done that. I swear we wouldn't have done that.
That's crazy.
It was just a little tap. But I'm just like, see, I wasn't thinking that. I'm like, okay, he's beating these guys. I'm just going to put it to the side and then hit it.
Yeah, Salama, I would say, cut all this out, but then get
it. Yeah, cut it out.
Good luck to you and your good luck to you and your thought about that, bro.
Okay. No, that was good. We're gonna keep that in there. Nah, man, great episode, guys. I appreciate everybody's support. We have a lot of big things coming at you guys, a lot of interviews, a lot of great conversations with a lot of good people. So appreciate everybody for tuning in. And as always, good luck to you in your future endeavors.